from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. President Joko Widodo congratulates Malaysia's 7th Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad. Indonesia's economic condition better than 20 years ago. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalot Pane. President Joko Widodo said he called Mahathir Mohamad to congratulate him as the new Malaysia's Prime Minister last night at 21:55. The president said to Mahathir on Thursday that he congratulated the winning of Pakatan Harapan in the recent 14th general election. He also lauds the establishment of the voting in Malaysia that went smoothly. Mahathir Mohamad has become Malaysian Prime Minister after having been shown in State Palace, Damansara, Malaysia on Thursday night. Mahathir is re-elected against the incumbent candidate Najib Razak. Mahathir becomes the 7th Prime Minister of Malaysia. It is his second position after becoming Prime Minister for 20 years in 1981 to 2003. The weakening of the rupiah against the US dollar, which has penetrated the level of 14,000 rupiahs per US dollar, makes some people worried about the monetary crisis that occurred 20 years to happen again. However, Head of Economics and Research Finance Corporate Service UOB Indonesia Enrico Tanuwijaya perceives that the public should not have to worry about it because Indonesia's economic condition is now more solid than 20 years ago. This was disclosed at a discussion held by a private radio station in Jakarta recently.
Kalau masalah ketahanan dalam hal perekonomian, menurut saya kita sudah jauh lebih.
With the problem of resilience in terms of the economy, I think we are much more solid than 20 or 10 years ago. It proves that we are given a rating worthy of investment by three rating agencies. That is a real testimony. Secondly, our GDP growth is slowing down. But we must remember that our main engine, that is commodity, since the end of 2012, has actually gone down. So the word term is quite normal to assume that our growth will slow down until later. Enrico Tanuwijaya further said that currently Indonesia's investment spending is on the rise. So the structure of the current economic condition of Indonesia is still quite good. Especially since 2013, Indonesia's foreign exchange reserves has continued to increase until reaching the highest point. In January 2018, the amount was $132 billion. The National Police denied on Thursday that the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, group had masterminded the deadly riot at the detention center of the Mobile Brigade Command Station, the Tencent in Kelapa II, Depok, West Java on Thursday. Chief of the Public Information Bureau at the National Police Headquarters, Brigadier General M. Iqbal, noted that up to now, the police denied. He stated that the police have sought clarification about the riot from officers who sustained injuries in the riot and several terror convicts detained at the detention center. However, the police have found no strong evidence of ISIS influence in the clash between the terror convicts and the police officers. Iqbal also disclosed that the riot was caused due to the issue of food for inmates. As per the standard operating procedure, the food must be checked by police officers for security, safety, and health reasons. However, he added that the police will investigate the alleged involvement of ISIS in the incident. The government of Indonesia regrets United States' decision to withdraw from a deal on nuclear weapons between Iran and the permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany, or Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. This was disclosed in a press statement from Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs received in Jakarta on Thursday. JCPOA is an important achievement of diplomacy that can contribute to encourage non-proliferation of nuclear weapons and the creation of peace and stability in the region and in the world. The government of Indonesia expects other JCPOA countries to respect its commitments and call on the international community to keep supporting the agreement. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres urged other parties to be committed to the Iran nuclear deal, JCPOA, in a bid to maintain their commitments after US President Donald Trump declared the US withdrawal. Guterres also remarked in a statement that he was deeply concerned over the decision of President Donald Trump. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Head of Center for Economic and Policy Studies of Gajah Mada University, Tony Prasetyantono, assessed that Bank Indonesia needs to raise its benchmark interest rate to face the rupiah depreciation against the current US dollar. In a discussion held in Jakarta recently, he said Bank Indonesia should realize that the trend of low interest rate cannot continue because of spending foreign reserves owned by Indonesia.
Jadi menurut saya, udahlah, BI harus cepat melakukan.
So, I think Bank Indonesia should quickly make interest rates up to 25 or 50 basis points. But the important thing is that Bank Indonesia should be aware that the era of low interest rates cannot continue. The US has raised interest rates, and other countries respond the same. Even China is also small, but there is already an increase in interest rates. Unfortunately, if we spend too much foreign exchange. Although there is no guarantee that the rise of interest rate is able to strengthen the rupiah, Tony Prasetyantono said that the effort could reduce the burden of foreign exchange reserves. Currently, Indonesia's foreign reserves have dropped considerably despite being within safe limits. He further explained that the last condition of Indonesia's foreign exchange is at $124 billion. This condition has decreased drastically, considering that in January 2018, Indonesia's foreign exchange reserves managed to reach the highest point of $132 billion. The weakening of the rupiah against the US dollar, which has penetrated the level of 14,000 rupiahs per US dollar, poses some problems for the Indonesian economy. One of which is that foreign investors run away from Indonesia to the countries which are considered to have better conditions than Indonesia. However, the runaway of the investors doesn't need to be worried too much, because some other countries that become investors' favorite destination also experience similar conditions with Indonesia. This was disclosed by head of Center for Economic and Public Policy Studies of Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta, Tony Prasetyantono, in a discussion held by a private radio in Jakarta recently.
Sebetulnya dolar menguat itu kontraproduktif. Saya yakin itu akan terkoreksi. Terus keyakinan yang kedua.
Actually, the strengthening of US dollar is counterproductive. So, I'm sure it will be corrected. Then the second conviction is that if the investors run away from Indonesia, yes, they go. But after they run away, they don't know the country where to go. They go to the USA or China. But finally, some of them are back to Indonesia. Believe me, it just takes time, because the situation is currently unfavorable. The important thing is that they escape first from Indonesia. But after they know where to go, any investment options or country destinations also have the same problems. So, in my opinion, Indonesia is still favorite, as I said before. Tony Prasetyantono further said that Indonesia still remains a favorite country for foreign investors because it has pretty good fundamentals. These fundamentals include inflation, deficit of state budget, and economic growth. However, something to be watched out by the government is that there are fewer surpluses again from the export activities of Indonesia, and the foreign direct investment is dominated by hot money or short-term capital flows. Therefore, the government is asked to immediately intervene against the weakening of the rupiah. The weakening of the rupiah against the US dollar, which has penetrated the level of 14,000 rupiahs per US dollar, raises concerns about rising inflation levels. However, head of the Center for Economics and Public Policy Studies of Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta, Tony Prasetyantono, said that there are other things that the government should focus on: foreign debt and the ability of Indonesian imports. Because until now, the level of inflation in Indonesia is still under control and or has not experienced a significant increase. This was affirmed by Tony in a discussion held by a private radio in Jakarta recently.
Inflasi rasanya belum ya, belum banyak ya, karena itu sekali lagi itu kan kalau
inflation still seems not too high. Therefore, once again, if you count from mathematics from 13,500 to 14,000, it's still small. It's just think that it's not our concern, because beyond the factor of inflation, we must be concerned on payment of foreign debt, and then our ability to import becomes weak. Responding to the impact of rupiah weakening against the US dollar on the real sector, Tony Prasetyantono remarked that the sector is still running well and does not have a significant influence, because nowadays the producers tend to spend their stock of goods by selling to consumers using the old price. In addition, the producers will not raise their price of goods in the near future to anticipate the fall in demand from consumers that will actually harm them. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today, entitling Victory of the Opposition in Malaysia. The history of Malaysia is no longer the same. After 60 years in power, Barisan Nasional, which is the 13-party coalition with UMNO as one of the strongest parties in Malaysia, has to relinquish its power to the opposition. In the general elections held on Wednesday, Barisan Nasional had to compete against Pakatan Harapan, which consists of four parties. As a result, the people of Malaysia gave their support to Pakatan Harapan, which obtained 113 seats. With the addition of the coalition of parties in Borneo, the total is 121 seats, while Barisan Nasional could only manage 79 seats. Former Prime Minister of Malaysia, Najib Tun Razak, who led the Barisan Nasional, admitted this defeat. However, in the matter of leadership, the problem is not yet fully completed. If calculated per party, no party controls an absolute majority without a coalition. The opposition parties incorporated in Pakatan Harapan will not obviously share its power with Barisan Nasional. The defeat of Barisan Nasional cannot be separated from the Malaysian people, who lack of trust to Najib Tun Razak figure, perceive not to run the mandate properly. Like in the case of an alleged major corruption scandal that affects one of Malaysia's state-owned enterprises, one MDB, reportedly, Najib Razak received a great amount of money from it, although this was denied by him. However, Mahathir Mohamad, who was once the Prime Minister of Malaysia and now the coalition leader, did not automatically become Prime Minister after the election. After the vote count, Malaysia is still not fully out of the leadership crisis, since no party has absolute majority. Razak submitted the matter to Yang Dipertuan Agung Sultan Muhammad V as the head of state of Malaysia. Finally, Mahathir Mohamad took the oath as the 7th Prime Minister of Malaysia at the State Palace around 10 p.m. on Thursday. Although there were rumors that the palace was less pleased with Mahathir because he often criticized the kingdom. Earlier, coalition leaders met Yang Dipertuan Agung to ensure that Mahathir can be sworn in to lead Malaysia. The voice of Malaysians who give trust to the Pakatan Harapan coalition to lead the country should be supported. Under his leadership, Mahathir Mohamad, who is 92 years old, must be able to bring positive hope to Malaysia. Because any political crisis that hit the country will certainly affect the regional condition in the Asian region, especially Indonesia. That was commentary. I'm Nugo Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event on May 11, 1939, the first world television transmitter operates. On May 11, 1939, for the first time, a television transmitter operated in the city of Berlin, Germany. Since then, the world began to get acquainted with a communication tool visually. The television station was later named NIPCO in recognition of Paul NIPCO, the famous German scientist and one of the inventors of television equipment. NIPCO's major role in the invention of television is related to his invention of how to convert the image into waves and reconvert the waves into images. On May 11, 1940, when British and French troops entered Belgium, the Battle of Belgium of Belgian Campaign, often referred to as the 18 Days Campaign in Belgium, formed part of the Greater Battle of France, an offensive campaign by Germany during the Second World War. It took place over 18 days in May 1940 and ended with a German occupation of Belgium following the surrender of the Belgian army. On May 10, 1940, Germany invaded Luxembourg, the Netherlands, and Belgium under the operational plan Volgelp or Kaiserwelle. The Allied armies attempted to hold the German army in Belgium, believing it to be the main German thrust. After the French had fully committed the pass of the Allied armies to Belgium, between 10 and 12 of May, the Germans enacted the second phase of their operation, a breakthrough or sickle cut through the Ardennes and advanced toward the English Channel. The German army reached the Channel after 5 days, encircling the Allied armies. The Germans gradually reduced the pocket of Allied forces, forcing them back to the sea. The Belgian army surrendered on May 28, 1940, ending the battle. And the last event, which occurred on May 11, 1998, about the first euro coins were printed in France. French Economic Minister Dominique Strauss-Kahn launched the first euro coins in Europe at Pessac Workshop. The symbol of European integration and factors of economic dynamism, the euro became a common currency in 11 countries from 15 countries that formed the European Union in 1998. Coins and euro banknotes were introduced on January 1, 2002. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today's topic entitled Indonesia-China Agreed to Improve Cooperation in the Field of Economy. Indonesia hopes that Indonesia-China's commitment will strengthen. China is expected to increase import of Indonesian products. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo to the media after receiving the visit of Prime Minister of the People's Republic of China, Li Keqiang, at the Presidential Palace of Bogor on Monday, May 7. The import are mainly palm oil and tropical fruits. President Joko Widodo said that Prime Minister Li Keqiang has undertaken the increasing form of Indonesian trade with an additional minimum of 500,000 tons of crude palm oil to China. President Joko Widodo appreciated the visit of Prime Minister Li to Indonesia. It was Prime Minister Li's first visit after being officially inaugurated in May 2018. For Indonesia, China is a strategic partner, especially in the field of economy, trade, and investment. The arrival of Prime Minister Li to Indonesia is also an important step in strengthening the relations between the two countries that must be mutually beneficial. According to President Joko Widodo, China, with 1.37 billion population, is a huge market for Indonesian products. During the meeting, President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Li Keqiang also discussed the improvement of mutually beneficial cooperation between the two countries. The President asserted that as to majority countries, the partnership of Indonesia and PRC should be able to provide benefits for peace, stability, and for the welfare of the world based on international law and norms. Meanwhile, in the event of Indonesia-China Business Summit 2018 in Jakarta on Monday, May 7, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla asked the government and Chinese businessmen to prioritize Indonesian domestic workers in every investment conducted in Indonesia. This will add value to the industry, maintain environmental stability, and improve the quality of industrial products. Chinese Ambassador to Indonesia Xiao Qian earlier said that the visit of Chinese Prime Minister Li Keqiang indicated how important Indonesia is in the eyes of China. Xiao also explained that the relationship between Chinese and Indonesian societies was established since 2,000 years ago, and Indonesia is one of China's main diplomatic partners. That was today's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. President Joko Widodo said he called Mahathir Mohamad to congratulate him as the new Malaysia's Prime Minister last night at 21:55. The President said to Mahathir on Thursday that he congratulated the winning of Pakatan Harapan in the recent 14th general election. The weakening of the rupiah against the US dollar, which has penetrated the level of 14,000 per US dollar, makes some people worried about the monetary crisis that occurred 20 years to happen again. However, head of Economics and Research Finance Corporate Service, UOB Indonesia, Enrico Tanuwijaya, perceived that the public should not have to worry about it. The National Police denied on Thursday that the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria ISIS group had masterminded the deadly riot at the detention center of the Mobile Brigade Command Station, detention in Kelapa II, Depok, West Java on Thursday. Chief of the Public Information Bureau at the National Police Headquarters, Brigadier General M. Iqbal, noted that up to now the police denied. The government of Indonesia regrets the United States' decision to withdraw from a deal on nuclear weapons between Iran and the permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany or Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. This was disclosed in a press statement from Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs received in Jakarta on Thursday. Head of Center for Economic and Policy Studies of Gajah Mada University, Tony Prasetyantono, assessed that Bank Indonesia needs to raise its benchmark interest rate to face the rupiah depreciation against the current US dollar. The weakening of the rupiah against the US dollar, which has penetrated the level of 14,000 per US dollar, poses some problems for Indonesian economy. One of which is that foreign investors run away from it have better condition than Indonesia. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Central Sulawesi Province to introduce Lingayan Island in Toli-Toli Regency, Central Sulawesi Province. So, stay tuned! Central Sulawesi Province has three outermost islands directly adjacent to the waters of Malaysia and the Philippines, namely Lingayan, Salando, and Dolangan. From the three islands, only Lingayan has been inhabited by the residents. Lingayan Island is located in Ogutua Village, Toli-Toli Regency, Central Sulawesi. To get to this island, we can ride a motorboat from Ogutua Village with a travel time of 15 minutes. Located between the Sulawesi Sea and Makassar Strait, the island is listed as one of the 92 outer islands in Indonesia. Rows of mangrove trees welcome every visitor who set foot on Lingayan Island. In addition to the white sand island and beautiful panorama, the waters around Lingayan Island are also rich in beautiful underwater scenery. This is because of the location of Lingayan, located between Makassar Strait and Sulawesi Sea. Listener, Lingayan Island also has beautiful underwater sight. The island is also inhabited by hawksbill, which in certain months go to the beach to lay eggs. The government will make the area around Lingayan Island a center for the preservation of dugong as a protected marine mammal habitat because the population is increasingly threatened. The beauty of the oval-shaped island is increasingly visible when traveling around using a boat. Beautiful white sand and coral rocks stretch out along the island. On the other side, there is an inside section suitable for fishing and diving. The row of round or oval-shaped large rocks with various sizes lie in the waters around the island, like rocks or floating plants. If you want to see more closely, the boat can pass between them. The hordes of small fish jumping around the boat bring more enchantment of the Lingayan Island. Listener, a number of islands in the middle of the blue waters of Makassar Strait waters will be part of the scenery that can be enjoyed throughout the journey. From Ogutua Village, many boats can be used to cross the sea. Generally, the small boat, engine to 2.5 horsepower, is in capacity of 4 to 5 people. It takes only about 15 minutes with calm sea water, making the small boats more comfortable and fast to cross the water. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Lingayan Island in Toli-Toli Regency, Central Sulawesi Province. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. I'm Putri Safitri Adela, sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesian life, including arts and culture, environment and technology, even lifestyle. Today's edition, we'll present you Rhino's Kites Festival 2018. Listener Special Economic Tourism Zone of Tanjung Lesung, which is part of 10 priority tourism destination in Indonesia, in cooperation with Indonesian Kite Museum, will hold Rhino Kites Festival featuring 100 ornamental kites. Decorative kites with various designs to be flown on the coast of Tanjung Lesung mark the official moment of the launch of Rhino Cross Triathlon. This kite festival will be held on 12 to May 13, 2018. Rhino Kites Festival is a series of great event Rhino Cross Triathlon or Rhino X3. This is the first cross triathlon open championship event in Indonesia, which consists of swimming contests, cycling race, and running across the beauty and natural challenges of Tanjung Lesung on September 29 to 30, 2018. In this festival event, about 100 ornamental kites will be flown on the coast of Tanjung Lesung, marking the official moment of the launch of Rhino Cross Triathlon. Managing Director of PT Banten West Java, Special Economic Zone of Tanjung Lesung Tourism Management, and Chief of Organizing Committee, Ruli, said that all visitors who will attend can watch the kite and follow the workshop of painting kites, flying kites, and watching night kites. All these activities can be enjoyed by visitors for free. Listener, meanwhile, the initiator of Indonesian Kite Museum, Endang Ernawati, stated that the museum prepares 100 ornamental kites with a variety of unique and fascinating forms ranging from animals, superheroes, and others. To welcome the Rhino Cross Triathlon, which will be held at Rhino Kite Festival in September, the visitor will also be able to see Genki Triathlon kites, Goes bikes, and Rokaku Rhino, and the presence of kite players from 5 countries, such as Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, and Myanmar. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today with the topic Rhino Kites Festival 2018. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. I'll see you with another interesting topics.
Meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Nuka, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present the songs from the East Java region. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. To begin our program for today, we are going to give you Keraben Sape by Umar Dhani.
campong e kerape songan nepa Mekasan sampang tor Pengkalan ngereng areng sarang padang ngolati keraben sape adu paburu na sape se sampang tor Pengkalang ngereng areng sarang padang ngolati kerapen sape adu paburu na sape se kerap dudu ce santana adu ce bengala orang ngasenong kok atas kale
Listener, the song sung by Umar Dhani is unknown who composed it. This song tells about the tradition that is commonly done by Madura community, namely Keraben Sapi. Sape or Karapan Sapi or cow raising is a term for cow raising that originally comes from Madura, East Java. In ancient times, many tourists come to the Madura island to witness the Karapan Sapi, which is held annually. In this race, each cow that is contested is ridden by a small jockey to quickly reach the finish line. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tanduk Majeng.
Oh,
You've just listened to another East Java song entitled Tanduk Majang. This song is also the one from Madura people. Tanduk Majang means the pleasure of fishing. This song tells about the life of Madura people who live as fishermen. Life as fishermen is very hard because every time there is always anxiety about danger at sea. Although being dangerous and threatening, Madura fishermen still go to catch fish at sea for their family's life. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Ajar Kenalan and Ate Taresna. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Music Corner.
ombak angin ngalesen rasana du ate karo tade pada bila seta temua du edima se esarea ate taresna antos bertana se paste saare rasana satao dukuste bila pona pangki sareng sekat resna du seneng tada pada kabel senepon ya se maha aku hati se kapenco bila arang sara enga tengka kulina semacam temua du edima se esarea ate taresna antos bertana se paste saare rasana sataon dukuste pon apangki sareng sekat resna du seneng tada pada salancangan tatap pesaan saare samale batia polo mata rosta temonate on kabel senepo
se maha aku ate se kapento
Tante.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.